Well, good morning. It's great to be with you, Vibe Church. I can't believe that I get the privilege to spend some time with you this weekend. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Steve. I'm a singer-songwriter, a pastor. I've traveled for many years speaking, and as I've traveled for years singing and speaking, one of the places I've had the privilege of coming to many times is Vibe Church. And it's one of my favorite places to visit in the world. Daryl and Nikki, I really admire them. I love them very much. Really respect them in ministry for the ways that they've stepped out and have led your church family now for a number of years. And the vision they carry in their heart and the risks they're willing to take for the sake of the gospel. And so it's really a privilege to be with you today. Talking of Daryl and Nikki and vision, I've been thinking about what I should say today. And I want to talk about vision. I want to talk about dreaming and vision and praying and waiting. Because the life of faith involves all of those things. Dreams and visions are one of the great themes of the scriptures. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, you see that where God wanted to do something, he would often give a vision or a dream to a person. Now, sometimes those were actual literal dreams. You know the kind of dreams you have where you fall asleep at night and you have a dream. But sometimes we use the word dream in a wider sense, right? We talk about maybe having a daydream, or when you're praying, there's a dream that comes, a vision that comes, or maybe just something that you carry in your heart. Maybe you've always dreamed about being used by God in ministry, or doing something important with your life. And so we carry all these kind of dreams. Some of them are for our church family. Some of them are for our personal lives. And I want to speak into all of that today just to bring some encouragement to us. You know, Christians, we're full of cliches and little sayings. And one of them that always makes me chuckle is the one where we say, someone will say, God is good. And everyone will say, all the time. And then they'll say, all the time, God is good. And it's true, but have you ever sat in a church service and someone says, God is good, and you say, yes, I know, but what about? I know he's good. I know he's faithful, but what about the struggle I'm going through? What about the thing I've been praying about for so many years and it hasn't happened yet? What about the pain that I feel? What about the vision that I carry and nothing seems to be moving? Because that's part of the challenge of the life of faith, isn't it? It's not just the mountaintop experiences. It's not just the goosebumps and the great things that happen and all the things we enjoy. It's also going through the valley. It's also trying to figure out, God, where are you in this? Why aren't things moving? Why aren't things happening more quickly? So I want to bring some encouragement to you today. And I want to start by thinking about this guy in the scriptures called Joseph. If you're new to Christianity, Joseph is the guy with the multicolored coat. And he's one of my favorite actual characters in the scriptures, because whenever I think about his life, it gives me hope for the long term, hope for the long run. We're going to pick up his story in Genesis chapter 37 from verse 5. It says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brothers said to him, do you intend to rule over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father, as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. You know, sometimes when we have a vision, when we have a dream, other people cannot see what we see. other people, in fact, sometimes can get jealous or even incredulous or mad at us, angry with us because of the vision we've got, because of the dream we've got. And often it's because they just can't see it yet. Joseph has this incredible dream from God. And if you didn't know the story of Joseph, you could be forgiven for thinking that, well, Joseph's got a dream, it's from God, therefore everything must just go well in his story, right? I mean, God's favor must be all over him, and there's just provision left, right, and center, and everything he prays for just falls into his lap, and wow, it must just be an amazing story of favor and blessing. It is an amazing story, but it's not a story that's easy. And for those of you who know Joseph's story, you'll know that actually he gets a vision from God and it will come to pass. But in the meantime, oh boy, things just go from bad to worse. He gets betrayed by his brothers. He's sold into slavery. He's taken down to Egypt, to a nation which is not his own, to a custom and a culture that is not his own. He's a slave for years. He's then wrongfully accused of a crime that he does not commit. He's then thrown into prison where he spends years there and he's forgotten about. I wonder what some of the emotions and some of the feelings and thoughts that Joseph had were. I'm sure he must have had days where he was so confused. God, I know you gave me a dream. I'm sure that dream was from you, but here I am rotting in a prison cell. How could it ever come to pass? Can you imagine if someone had knocked on Joseph's the door of his prison cell and shouted in, "God is good all the time"? Joseph might have said, "Yeah, I believe that, but what about this situation that I'm in?" And it's not just Joseph. There are many examples actually in the scriptures of people who had a dream from God or a call on their life, and yet things took time to be worked out. Think about David, King David, the guy who kills Goliath. And he's anointed by the prophet Samuel to be king of Israel. And just imagine the day that Samuel lays hands on him and anoints him to be Israel's king. It would be easy for David to think, okay, when do I start, right? I mean, maybe there's a week or two to figure out the admin, but surely it's just around the corner. And actually things go worse for him before they get better. King Saul, in his jealousy, sets out to kill David. And David becomes a fugitive, has to run for his life. And it's actually 8 years, 8 long years before David becomes the king. And if you think 8 years is long to wait for a vision to come to pass, think about Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah are a childless couple, and God speaks to Abraham and says, "I'm going to make you the father of a whole nation." He takes him outside, you know, "Look up at the stars in the sky. Your descendants are going to be like the stars in the heavens." This incredible dream, this incredible vision that comes from God. And so Abraham and Sarah try to have a baby, and guess what happens? Nothing. Year after year after year, nothing happens. In fact, it took 25 years from the time that God first gave Abraham that vision, that dream, to the time that their child, Isaac, is born. 25 years of waiting for a vision to come to pass. Now, I'm not saying that today to discourage you. As you're praying, as you're waiting, as you're dreaming, I'm not trying to discourage you. I want to encourage you today that this is the life of faith. And there are things that we can do and lessons that we can learn in the meantime. Three things about dreams that I want to share, first of all. Firstly, sometimes, number one, sometimes the dream is right, but the timing is wrong. The dream is right, but the timing is wrong. You see, the challenge of vision, whenever we have a vision or a dream, even when they've come from God, they're always for the future. You can't have a vision for the past. That's left. Vision is always for the future. But we don't actually know when the future might be. There's short-term dreams, there's medium-term dreams, there's long-term dreams. And here's the thing about a dream. When you're really captured by a dream or by a vision, and you start to pray for it, when it starts to fill your heart, let's be honest, you want it to happen now. We just want it to happen now. Oh God, I can see it. That thing for our church, I can see it. That thing in my personal life, I can see it. That thing in my relationship, I can see it. Oh God, let it happen now, or at least by next week. We just want it now, but often it's not the right timing yet. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says this: to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. God's got a time to bring about his purpose. And if it's not time yet, you and I can't force it. We can't force God's hand. We have to learn to trust his timing, that God will bring the dream about in his time. You know, I think sometimes as we trust God's timing, there are things that he actually wants us to do in the meantime. Maybe we've got a dream to climb Mount Everest, you know, and you can see yourself on top of Mount Everest. This is an analogy, by the way, not a literal example. You can see yourself on top of Mount Everest, and yet you've not even bought a plane ticket yet, let alone hiked to base camp. And so timing is really important. There are lessons to learn in the meantime. There are stages often to a dream being fulfilled. I want to encourage you to trust God's timing. Secondly, sometimes the dream is right, but the details are wrong. It's the right dream, but we get the detail wrong. Sometimes the dream that we carry in our hearts is good, and it might even be from God. But the details of how it's going to happen get mixed up with our own, perhaps carnal or selfish interpretation. And we assume that we know how God's going to bring it to pass. Have you ever done that in your life? God's given you like a general dream, and then you've started to try and work out how he's going to bring it about, how he's going to bring it to pass. You know, we see this in the Gospels with the disciples. Simon Peter, you know, Jesus is talking to his disciples one day, and he says to them, who do you say that I am? And Simon has the revelation, right? He sees it. He gets the vision. He says, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're it. You're the Messiah. You're the one. And Jesus says to Simon, blessed are you, Simon. You've received this from our Father in heaven. You've got it. You've hit the nail on the head. And I'm going to change your name to Peter. And on this rock of revelation of who I am, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And we all love that moment in Simon Peter's life where he sees the vision. But, you know, he doesn't always get the details right. It's not long after that he takes Jesus to one side and he says, Jesus, listen, you need to stop talking about dying. You keep talking about dying like you're freaking people out, Lord. Stop it, right? He starts to rebuke Jesus over the details of Jesus' mission. And Jesus turns to Simon Peter and he says, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. He has to rebuke him. One minute he's saying, Simon, you've got the dream, but the next minute he's saying you haven't got the details right. You've been trying to fill it out yourself, work it out yourself. There's another moment where James and John, two of the other disciples, the sons of Zebedee, they've got a vision of Jesus sitting on his throne, and they come to Jesus and they say, hey, Jesus, let us fill out the picture a little bit more. We've got an image of you sitting on your throne. And when you come into your kingdom and you sit on your throne, grant that we might sit either side of you. Like, it'd be so cool. We'll look so amazing. We're sat either side of you, Jesus. And Jesus says, oh boys, you don't know what you're asking. We're not handing out places in the pecking order of heaven here and now. You're missing the point. You see, they got the big picture right, but they were filling in the details themselves. And often there can be carnality, even selfishness, that starts to creep into dreams that come from God. I remember talking to a young worship leader in America once. And he was a young guy, and he was a young, good-looking guy, and he was even talented. You know, he could play well the guitar, he could sing well. And I was talking to him in somebody's house, and he said, you know, my dream is just to be, he says, I want to be like Martin Smith of Delirious. You know, Delirious were the band at the time that everyone was talking about. And he said, my dream is just to lead worship in arenas and stadiums. And I said to him, that's great. I said, that's great. I think maybe you should start with, like, just lead worship in your local church. Or just lead worship, like, for a few of your friends in a small group. Or be willing to lead worship for just a group of homeless people. Or just be willing to lead worship in a little backstreet church somewhere that no one's ever heard of. And he said, oh, no, that's not my dream. My dream is to lead in stadiums. And, you know, it became obvious to me in that moment that actually his dream was, it was kind of from God, but it was more about him. It was more about who he was and what he looked like. And he'd really was getting the details wrong. See, often our motivations need refining. One of the reasons God doesn't give us the answer to the dream yet is because our motivations need refining. Why is it that we want to see this dream come to pass? Is it for God's glory or is it for ours? The third thing is that sometimes the dream is right, but the driving force is wrong. Sometimes the dream is right, but the timing's wrong. Sometimes the dream's right, but the details are wrong. Sometimes the dream is right, but the driving force is wrong. We try to do it in our own strength instead of in God's power. You know, talking of Abraham and Sarah, they got tired of waiting. As the years went by and Sarah wasn't getting pregnant, there was no child coming. In the end, they said, you know, maybe we need to do this differently. We need to bring this about in our own strength, in our own power. And so Abraham's, Sarah says to Abraham, here's my servant girl, Hagar. Why don't you go into her and we'll have a child through her. We'll bring it about that way. And if you know the account of Abraham and Sarah, you'll know that Ishmael was born. And there's this moment where Abraham takes his son Ishmael to pray before the Lord. And he says, oh God, that Ishmael might live before you. And God says, no, Ishmael is not my answer. Ishmael is not my solution. Ishmael is not my fulfillment of the dream I gave you. They tried to bring it about in their own way. And eventually Isaac comes, but he comes because of God's blessing. He comes because of God's power, not Abraham and Sarah's. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is Ephesians 3, verse 20 to 21. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And we love that verse as Christians, right? We go, wow, God, you're able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And that's true. And it's good because it builds faith in us, because we say, man, I can ask for a lot. I can imagine a lot. And God, you're able to do immeasurably more than that. And that's cool. But sometimes we put a full stop there instead of a comma. Because here's what it actually says. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The motive is God's glory in the church. And he's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, but he does it according to his power at work within us. You know, when God meets a need or performs a miracle, or gives us a breakthrough, he doesn't do it detached from our lives. It's not like we just get on and like live however we want to live. And then over here somewhere, completely separate from us, he just boom, like drops the breakthrough, drops the miracle. No, God actually works in us by the Holy Spirit. Mike Pilavachi, the leader of Soul Survivor, says it this way, the power is in his presence. The power is in his presence. And it's as we learn to corporately come together and worship the Lord and pray together, that's where we experience his power. But it's also in our own individual lives. As we learn to walk and pray and worship and turn away from sin because we so love his presence, we so want to honor his presence in our life, that's when we start to see him work in us and through us, so that actually when the miracle comes about, we're actually changed in the process. See, God doesn't just want to do a miracle. He wants to change you and me through the miracle. Let me put it this way. Can you imagine if you went home today, well, some of you are home listening to this now, but today, an hour from now, God just clicked his fingers and gave you everything you ever could dream of. It all just happened. The answered prayers, the breakthrough, the provision that you long for. It all just happened, boom, instantaneously. But you weren't changed as a person. Would you really be satisfied with that? See, I don't think you would be. I know I wouldn't be. Because I want to be a better person. I want to be a different man. I want to walk more closely with Jesus. I want to experience him more in my life. I don't just want the breakthrough and the miracle. I want to walk with the Lord and see him change me through that process. And so that's why that's so important, that it's not just about the miracle, it's about the change that takes place in our lives. And so we have to trust that God will bring about the vision in his time. He'll bring about the vision in his way, and he'll bring about the vision through his power. Now that's the principle, but what can we actually do today? What can we do in the meantime? I want to give us very quickly three things that we can do, three things we can put into practice in our lives in the meantime. You know, the meantime is the time between seeing the vision and seeing it become reality. The meantime is the time between getting the dream and seeing the dream come true. What can you and I do in the meantime? Well, what we definitely shouldn't do is just drift. We shouldn't stagnate. We should keep growing with the Lord. So three things to do. Number one, let God grow you to match the size of your vision. Let God grow you to match the size of your vision. You see, I think that God's not just interested in delivering the vision. He's actually preparing us to carry the vision. What would have destroyed us yesterday will bless us tomorrow if we learn the lessons of today. What would have destroyed us yesterday, the success, we couldn't have handled the success yesterday. We couldn't have handled the responsibility yesterday. But we will be able to tomorrow if we learn the lessons of today. You know, I sometimes think about success, and I think that for young people in ministry, sometimes success can come too soon. And it can go to their heads, and they can become proud and arrogant. And it's almost like the success wrecks them as a person, and that's not God's heart. So let God grow you in the meantime. Often our prayer, let's be honest, often our prayer is for the thing to happen. Oh God, let there be a breakthrough. You know, maybe you're single and you just long to be married. And maybe your prayer is, Lord, bring me a spouse, bring me a spouse, bring me a spouse. But I want to encourage you, change your prayer to this. Lord, make me ready. Make me ready. Sometimes we say, Lord, would you provide the need, provide the need, provide the need. But change your prayer to, Lord, change me, make me ready, so that when you provide the need, I know what to do with it. Secondly, I want to encourage you to choose to live by your values in the meantime. So firstly, let God grow you in the meantime. But secondly, choose to live by your values. You know, sometimes we say to ourselves, man, if only I had that, then I could serve God. If only this would happen in my life, then I could really be happy. And actually, it's the wrong way to live. If God's put a dream in your heart, a vision, but it's not happened yet, look at what's in your hand. Don't only look at what's in your heart, look at what's in your hand, because what's in your hand is what you actually do have today. And God wants you to use that now. Yes, you know, you could look at it and say, if only I had that other thing. Well, that might come. That will come in God's time. But in the meantime, look at what you do have. You know, sometimes we look at what God isn't doing instead of looking at what he is doing today. What is he saying today? How can you live by your values today? You know, for Danae and I, we've carried a dream in our heart for 20 years now for a bigger home, a bigger family home. 20 years ago, we moved into our current home, and it's a small starter home, and we're grateful for it. We love it. But 20 years ago, we didn't have any children. And now here we are in this small home. And our son is, you know, he's a teenager, and he's in a tiny little small bedroom. And for, you know, for me, I spent 25 years traveling as an evangelist and musician. And I've had a great life and great experiences. But you don't make a lot of money when you do that. And so Danae and I were like, okay, God, we're just going to pray and we're going to believe you. And we've even had words that people have spoken over us about how God's going to make a way, and he's going to provide a bigger home for us. And yet we're still living in the meantime. And we would love to have a bigger home so that we could be more hospitable, so that we could have more people around, so that we could have family members come and stay with us. And we're just not able to do those things. But it's not just us. Maybe some of you are in that same position. You're longing for that sort of thing to happen in your life too. But let me tell you this. Danae and I made a decision years ago, that we're going to live by our values. We're going to live by our values. And so listen, even though we've got a small house, we have people over anyway. We practice hospitality anyway. We have people over for meals, and we cram people around our tiny table anyway. Because we made a decision, we're going to live by our values, not just by the dream that's in our heart. We're not going to wait and say, well, if God does it, if we get a breakthrough, if we get a miracle, and we're able to get a bigger home, then we'll be hospitable. No, we're going to live by our values now anyway. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Live by your values. You know, Joseph does this brilliantly in the scriptures. When he's in Potiphar's house, he could have sulked, and he could have said, you know, I've been betrayed by my brothers, and I've been sold into slavery. And he could have become anger and bitter that his dream wasn't coming to pass. But that's not what happens. He actually uses his leadership gift in Potiphar's house. And even when he's sold, when he's wrongly accused, and he's thrown into jail and forgotten about, he could have got really bitter and angry. He could have shut down his values, but that's not what he does. You see, he's an interpreter of dreams. It's one of his gifts that God's given him. And even in the prison, he starts to interpret other prisoners' dreams. He uses his gift. He's generous with his gift, even in the circumstance that he's in. He lives by his values, not just by the dream. And it's actually key to him becoming who he is called to become, because if you know the story of Joseph, he's finally brought before Pharaoh, because Pharaoh needs a dream interpreting. And it would have been easy again for Joseph to have been angry, bitter old man, but that's not what happens. He uses his gift to interpret Pharaoh's dream, and he uses his leadership gift, and he's promoted to governor of the nation. And the vision becomes a reality. And one day his brothers and his father and mother, they all bow down to him because of the position that God's brought him to. In the meantime, live by your values. And then finally, and I hope you've stayed with me today in these things that I'm talking about. Thirdly, trust the goodness of God. Trust the goodness of God. He is good. And actually, when we say God is good all the time, it can sometimes be a cliche, but it's not a cliche. He really is good. He really does care about you. And he really does care about the detail of your life. He wants to lead you and guide you through your life. And here's the thing about God. When he puts a dream in your heart, he doesn't do that to be cruel. He doesn't do that to be cruel. If it's really from him, if the vision is really from him, then he will bring it about. And in the meantime, as he grows you, in the meantime, as you live by your values, you have to trust in his goodness. You know, in the book of Daniel, we're introduced to these three young Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And King Nebuchadnezzar has set up a golden image and said that everybody needs to bow down and worship this golden image. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, no, we're only going to worship the living God. And this is what it says in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. I love that example. I love these guys. Because what they're doing is they're saying this, we've got real faith. We know that God will be with us. We know that God can deliver us out of this awful situation. We believe that he will deliver us. But even if he does not, we're going to love him anyway. We're going to worship him anyway. We're going to serve him anyway, because it's all about him. And that's having a much bigger perspective in life, isn't it? That's having what we would call an eternal perspective. And I just want to encourage you today, those of you that carry a vision, you carry a dream, you long for a family member that you've been praying for to be saved, that you've been praying for years and it's not happened yet, or you long for that spouse to come, or you long for the provision of a need, whatever it might be, you long to be used in a greater way by God, whatever that vision is that you carry in your life, I want you to have the same attitude of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We believe God can do it. We believe God will do it. But if he doesn't, we're going to love him anyway. If he doesn't, we're going to worship him anyway, because it's all about him anyway. I hope that's encouraged you today. I hope that's given you something to think about, to process in your own life. I'm excited about what God's got in store for you. That as you trust him, as you live by your values, as you trust his goodness and trust his time and lean on his power, you know, I think what God's able to do is awesome. And God's got awesome things for you personally, but also for you as a church community at Vibe. I believe your best days really are ahead of you as you walk with God. And let him bring about the vision and the dream. So maybe we could just take a moment and let's pray. And Lord, I want to pray today for those tuning into this online service. And in this moment, we just want to say to you, God, that we thank you for every dream and every vision that's come from you. And we ask you to forgive us where we try to figure it out or make it happen in our own strength, in our own power. Would you help us to learn, Lord, how to walk with you, to wait well, to pray faithfully, to grow in the meantime, to grow our character so that we can handle the vision. Lord, help us to live by our values. And Lord, help us to be the people that constantly look to you and trust your goodness, that you are a good God, that you will lead us, you will guide us, you will provide, you will make a way. We look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.